Thank you, Steve. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. And Dr. John Duffy is here. He's a clinical psychologist, best-selling author of an awesome book called The Available Parent. Also doing a podcast called Undo Anxiety. How are you, Dr. Duff?
I'm great, guys. How are you?
We're good. That was a little static. I don't know what happened. Oh, in the booth. Kevin, you're
Kevin's
fired.
Got a hair dryer going.
Right.
That's fine. Kevin, you do what you need to do.
Either way, I'm great. Yeah. How are you guys?
We're good. Kristen McQuarrie was in here earlier this week, and I was talking to her off the air, and I said my son Dylan, who's 14, said, so what about this North Korea stuff? Should I be worried?
Yeah.
Got to be honest with you, I didn't know how to answer, and I said, I don't think that's something that you should lose sleep over. We are in the Midwest. We're in the center of the United States. So I feel much safer than the coastal states. That's all I could say to him.
Actually, I like that. It's completely reasonable, and you're addressing his fear. So the deal today, unlike a generation ago when we could just turn off the TV and our kids would be unaware of what was going on in the world, right now, there are so many ways for kids to know what's going on that there are not many 14-year-olds who don't have some idea that something's going on with North Korea right now, right? You know, so
because Kristen kind of said, "Wow, you know, that surprises me that these kids are worried about it, but it's in their face."
Oh, it's in their face. It's on their phone. It's on the TV. It's on their computer. There is no escaping news like this, you know, and to pretend that our kids are oblivious to it. They might be suffering some anxiety unnecessarily. So to address it directly and say, hey, we can talk about this. I don't think this is something you need to worry about acutely right now. But if something comes up, we'll bring it up again, you know?
But, John, it goes back to, I mean, you can use so many instances. I will use September 11th because it's the one I remember most vividly.
Yeah.
Is when my daughters would see it on television, You can't really lie to them. You just don't want to provide all the facts, but then you feel bad because it's like, you know, at the time, I think my daughters were 4 or 5 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember talking it over with other parents going, are you keeping your TV set off? What are
right.
you doing so they don't keep seeing the same disturbing footage?
Well, we've talked about, my colleagues and I have talked about, like, you know, if 9/11 had happened now.
Yeah.
It would be such a different thing for parents because, you know, my son was about your daughter's age at the time and we recognized what was going on and kind of brought him to a different room, you know, and we were able to separate that. But if he had had an iPad in his hand, you know, well, he might have just found that on his own. So we have to communicate a lot more with our kids at much younger ages. In a lot of ways, they're, in terms of information gathering, they're doing it whether we want them to or not, you know? And so we can't ignore that fact. We can't ignore that reality.
All right. So in a case like this with Kim Jong-un, where we as adults know this is a credible threat.
Yes.
So how do we convey that to our kids, not giving them too much to worry about, not giving them enough to worry, like how do we figure out what the right balance is?
That's a great question, Bill. So you take age and developmental level and what they can handle into account, right?
Yeah.
Because if you have a 17-year-old, you might need to tell them more than you tell an 11-year-old about what's going on, right? You know, but it's almost like the old joke about the need-to-know basis where, you know, you tell your kid what they need to know in order for them to be able to feel informed, like you're not putting one over on them. They know enough and they're not terribly scared.
Right.
You know, and you've got to, as parents, we've got to walk that line as carefully as we can.
Yeah, I didn't know how to respond to it because, you know, maybe we do have to worry a little bit, but I think we're good right in the middle of the United States. And also, you know, with the news and the Facebook and social media and just your smartphones and computers, in a weird way, I think it's kind of a good thing that our kids are asking us more because, I mean, my mom never talked to me about sex, about anything. So now I feel like that opens the lines of communication way more with parents and kids.
I think parents miss opportunities in this very way, right? That things come up all the time. About world events, about sex is a great example where we have these opportunities to talk to our kids that our parents didn't have. They had to create the opportunities. Now we have all sorts of ways to talk to our kids about sex and drugs and rock and roll and all the stuff that we want them to stay away from, or at least we want to open a discussion about.
Wendy's mom talked to me about sex. Do you think that's weird?
I think it's a little unusual.
It is strange, yeah. Right? Yeah. All right. Is it okay to show with your
you
kids
must have
around?
A terrible sex life.
Oh,
then.
Boy. Is it okay to show with your kids around that you, as a parent, as an adult, are scared about things? Show some vulnerability. Is that all right?
I think that is all right, actually.
And that's different from our parents, too. It was like, oh, get out of here. We're fine.
We're
you
tough.
Know?
We're fine. Right. We're solid. We're good. Nothing to worry about. Nothing to see here. Move on. Son,
lie,
right?
Lie, lie.
Right, right, right. No, I think now is a great time to be more open and vulnerable with your kids. And if we're anxious about something, if we're worried about something, especially with our older kids, as they reach even the tween years, like those middle school years, kids are savvy. They know what's going on. And if we're pretending that we're not upset, they're emotionally astute. They will recognize that we're lying to them, you know, and that causes an enormous breach. Far better to be honest with them and say, yeah, I'm a little worried about this. I'm not terribly worried, but I'm kind of worried about this. I'm kind of sad and upset
about okay.
it. Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No.
So in essence, what you're supposed to do is validate your child's fears first and foremost. And then, like, I understand why you'd be scared. I am too. But I think we're going to be okay.
And the most important part of that, Wendy, you're right, is validation. You know, because if you invalidate or you ignore your child's fears, then they're going to feel either like, oh, well, I'm foolish for feeling the way I do, or my mom just doesn't get me or my dad doesn't get
me. And I'm not going to talk to him about anything else.
So I'm out. Right. Exactly.
And kids are constantly kind of watching their parents as ways of figuring out what direction they're going to head in when they're in a similar situation, aren't they?
We are always modeling for our kids.
Yeah.
So, you know, if we're being honest with them, they're going to be honest with the people around them. You know, if we are couch potatoes, for example, you know, they will be couch potatoes and we can lecture them all day long. But they're far more likely to do what we do than to just follow what we say, for sure.
All right, smartphones. We were talking about that because now nothing is hidden from kids. Everything's out there.
Yes.
And smartphones, can we have a discussion on that?
Yes, yeah.
Should we take a break first?
Let's do a quick break. We'll talk about the potential dangers of smartphones with your kids next. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy along with Dr. John Duffy on WGN.
You used to call me on my cell phone.
We are so hip here on WGN.
Yeah.
All right, it's Bill, it's Wendy, it's Dr. John Duffy, and smartphones could pose a problem for our younger kids, can't they?
Yeah, more so than I thought. Research that came out in the last few weeks suggests that excessive use of a cell phone, and we're talking about more than about 2 hours a day, can drive loneliness and depression and anxiety and a whole bunch of mental health concerns. The good news, or what would appear to be good news, is kids are physically safer because they don't leave home a whole lot. They leave home less than they used to. They drink less. They party less. They go out less, but they socialize less. So they're less connected.
Yeah.
They even drive later because they're okay being up in their rooms on their phones,
right.
Kind of isolated. And they're later to date and to have sex, but they're so much less engaged in activities at school or jobs, and they're not sleeping very well. So these phones are having an enormous impact on our kids. And I think the antidote, kind of to really simplify and distill it all down, is to have something that your kid is involved in, engaged in, and committed to, whether it's a sport or a club or a group or a play or music, something that works for your kid that gets them off the phone at least part of the time. I think that inoculates our kids a little bit from what's going on emotionally.
I am going to fess up. I easily spend more than 2 hours a day on a cell phone. Kevin, I would like to bet you do too.
2 hours?
More than 2 hours for the whole day?
I don't know, maybe. Probably.
John?
It's less only because I'm in sessions a lot of the time, but were I not, as soon as I walk out of a session, if I'm being honest, both myself and my clients, we're looking at some kind of social media. So we're not modeling very well what we want to see in our kids.
I take the train in every day, and a couple of weeks ago on the train platform, as I got onto the platform at Evanston, from my walk at the beginning of the platform to the end, I passed 43 people, all but two were on their phones, either texting, talking to somebody, playing a game, reading a book, all but 2 out of 43.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
It is. It is. And so even when we're outside, right, and we could be connecting with
right.
nature, the wind, the breeze, you
right.
know, something else, we're looking down.
Right.
You know?
That's the official pose of modern man, is him just looking down at his palm.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
A client of mine just went to Europe with her family, and they took a bike tour in one city, which everyone was against doing. But what she realized is, when you're on a bike, your head's up. You have to pay attention,
yeah, right.
you know? So some of it is kind of trickery, is kind of like finding those things that really engage your kids enough
yeah.
that they're not looking down at the thing so often.
So kids see their parents doing it, or adults doing it, and it gets back to what we were talking about earlier about how adults are always modeling for kids. Kids just assume, well, that's what life is now.
That's,
I need to be on a device.
Yeah, but they do it on their own too.
They
I don't
do.
Know.
Well, an awful lot of what's happening on their phones isn't happening on ours. So Instagram and Snapchat, right? These two
yeah.
things in the last 5 years have kind of taken over their lives
yeah.
and their self-worth, because, you know, how many likes I get, or how I look relative to this kid over here, or how many people are at the party where I am versus the party where he is. Kids are comparing themselves all the time, and usually they're making upward comparisons. They're
right.
looking for somebody who's doing better than them somehow
yeah.
on some online metric. And so they find ways to feel terrible about themselves.
Yeah.
And I don't think many of us understand, especially Snapchat, very well, because this is the one where you can send a message to somebody and it disappears instantly,
right.
you know,
no
or
proof.
Virtually. No proof, right. So mom and dad can't really find what I just sent or what I just received.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And although you can take screenshots of it.
Exactly. Right.
So how will this end up? I mean, I know now it's alarming, but at some point, will there be any interaction? Will people ever just talk to each other in real life anymore?
I honestly think there's going to be a backlash to all this. And I think kids are going to get sick of it. I think that generation wants to do good things in the world. I really do. I know for a guy my age, I know a lot of people who are 16. And I think at some point they're going to get tired of just being engaged in this. And they're going to recognize, this is burning us out. Let's do something bigger, more, different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Soon, I hope. Will it happen soon? Or
I honestly believe it's going to happen, you know, within the next couple of years.
I believe you.
Yeah.
I really do. And I also, to play devil's advocate here, you said that, you know, use of smartphones more than 2 hours a day can have adverse effects on learning and things like that. However, you also mentioned they're not drinking as much. They're
right.
not having sex as much. They're putting off driving. In a weird way, that's kind of good.
Well, see, as parents, like, we can be drawn in by that, right? Because that does feel good. It feels safe. And it feels like, okay, my kid is underneath this roof, and all the things that I'm most afraid of aren't happening. But we have to balance that out with the peril of, okay, but my kid is up in his or her room with the door closed, alone. And I don't want this to sound like, you know, those damn kids and their phones, because I really don't mean it to sound
right,
that way.
Sure.
I just want us to be aware of the emotional impact that all the time on the phones, you know, is taking. Let's face it, you know, the phones are amazing. If we had them when we were 15 or 16,
oh my God.
Would have been on them like crazy too, you know?
We
so
would've.
We can't really blame kids for this.
I was at, my son Michael performed at a private party a couple of weeks ago, and I ran into somebody I went to high school with, and he jokingly said, so, you know, does your kid want a beer? And I said, my kid's 18, he doesn't drink. And he goes, yeah, right. I know how you were at 18. I said, I'm not kidding you. And he was shocked.
Yeah, yeah. Listen, this is a good thing about kids these days. They are, take the phones out of the picture for just a second, they are more responsible in so
way more
many
responsible
ways
than
we
were.
Mm-hmm. The case in point I use most often is I ask kids all the time, does anybody ever drive drunk?
Mm-hmm.
So even if you're drinking, even if you're at a party and you're drinking, and nobody, not there isn't a kid around who is a teenager now who would let a friend of theirs drive drunk or get in a car with somebody who
it's
is
progress.
Driving drunk. And
that's
it's
huge.
Major
huge.
Progress, right?
Yeah.
Because they're thinking things through and they're really taking care of each other.
Yeah, 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 yeah. So this device that was invented to bring people closer and more together, in reality, kind of does the opposite,
doesn't
it?
It's pretty divisive, and I think it's really isolating in a lot of ways. And I think we have to find ways, and to your point, Bill, to model balance, right? Because I think it's okay to use it some of the time. They're unbelievably remarkable devices. I mean, my iPhone is a prized possession. I love it, yeah. But it's important to balance that out with the rest of life. Otherwise, and this piece says it pretty clearly, it defines your life. You know, right. It really does define your life, your self-esteem, your self-worth, everything that you do.
One of the most telling pictures I've ever seen in my life, somebody sent me a couple of weeks ago, and I got to post it on Facebook. I'll find it. It's a bunch of school kids at a museum in France, an art museum, and there's all these great works of art all around them, and every kid is on their phone just looking on their phone when they've got this incredible array of artwork around them.
Boy, is that a sign of the times, right?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, so they're conditioned, right, to be looking down instead of up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That should be a school rule. I know even up through junior high in our district, you cannot have a phone out during the school day, which includes field trips. So, I mean, they should keep that.
They should, absolutely. And that should go through high school. There's really no
reason
to have a phone out during high school. I think by college, you should be responsible for what you do and what you don't. But through high school, I think that ought to be a good that's a good rule. And then you've got 7 hours a day,
yeah,
at the very least, where your child is engaged in something else.
Yeah. We have only a minute, but I'll ask you this really quick. I know you can't give an extensive answer, but this was the time of year that for a lot of kids, myself included, it starts to hit you. Oh, no, school's just a couple of weeks away. Do you see kids get a little more depressed almost because of the fact that summer's coming to a close?
Definitely. There's a little depression and there's a little excitement and anxiety rises a little bit. I see a little mix of everything. Business is busy this time of year.
Yeah, I bet.
Because parents are a little amped up too. We want to set a tone for the year where it's like, okay, last year might not have gone perfectly, so let's set up a circumstance in which you're studying regularly and you're engaged in something, you know?
Yeah.
So absolutely, things get amped up enormously this time of year, next couple
Although
of weeks.
Although I know you never did, but there were other people, I think most other people were a little excited to get back to school because I just liked getting the new Ticonderoga pencils and the notebook, and then you get to see who's in your class, and it's very exciting for at
the
least
first
the
five
first.
Minutes.
Right.
Well, and the first day of our district school is the day of the total eclipse, so I think that's a great day to start school.
No kidding, right? And
at
yeah,
Bonnie
and I do
Tyler
see that too.
High, is that where you go to school?
Yes. Total eclipse of the school.
Of the school year. So this is a natural thing. Don't be shocked when your kids feel a little.
No, there's going to be some degree of anxiety.
Yeah.
And to your point, some degree of excitement too. You know,
sure.
I think kids look forward to it. That usually doesn't linger very long,
yeah.
but that's a good thing to bank on too. I think summer gets old after a while. You know, the lack of structure.
Yeah.
You know, as much as kids
structure,
don't want to admit
it. I hate that word.
I know.
Wendy wouldn't even shop in structure in the mall because
no kidding.
She just didn't like it.
I hate that word.
That's Dr. John Duffy. John, thanks so much.
Thanks,
really
guys.
Appreciate it. We'll take a quick break and then some news, and then Tony Fulmer stops by. So stick around for that. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.